Amen. Thank you for that. As our children dismiss to children's church, those fifth grade and below, I ask you to find your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 11 through 16. Jeremiah 37, verses 11 through 16. While you're finding that, I can't remember if I remember to announce at the groundbreaking tonight, immediately following, going to have an ice cream social. So if you don't want to dig with the shuffle, come eat with the ice cream. Also, I noticed, if you didn't notice this morning, I need your prayers, and Randy needs your prayers, and Brother Wade needs a practice. He prayed for us a couple times. Thank you, brother, for being willing to serve. Perseverance. We're going to read several scriptures, but different times throughout this morning's message. But the overall title is perseverance. Life is, as you know, tough. Starting in Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 11 through 16, they read like this. When the Chaldean army withdrew from Jerusalem because of Pharaoh's army, Jeremiah started to leave Jerusalem to go to the land of Benjamin to claim the portion there among the people. But when he was at the Benjamin gate, an officer of the guard was there, whose name was Urijah, son of Shelemiah, and then son of Hananiah. And he apprehended Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "You are deserting to the Chaldeans." "That's a lie," Jeremiah replied. "I am not deserting to the Chaldeans." Urijah would not listen to him, but apprehended Jeremiah and took him to the officials. The officials were angry at Jeremiah and beat him and placed him in jail in the house of Jonathan, the scribe, for it has been made into a prison. So Jeremiah went into a cell in the dungeon and stayed there many days. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us this morning as we look at your word. And Father, the message that you have prepared for us, Father, hide me behind the cross. Father, may it be you and you alone, the one that's seen. Father, I pray, Lord, if there's one here under the sound of my voice that needs to know your son Jesus, Lord and Savior, that they would come to know your son Jesus, Lord and Savior, today. Father, if there's one here under the sound of my voice who has already trusted your son Jesus, Lord and Savior, and maybe like Jeremiah's, we'll see here in just a moment, they keep getting knocked down. Father, I pray, Lord, they'd turn to you because we know that you'll never leave them, never forsake them. Father, I pray, Lord, they'd surround themselves by fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and may we be there for and with one another to lift each other up. Father, may everything done and said this morning be honored and glorified in your name and grow your kingdom. For it is in your son Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. We've been looking at, over the past several weeks, a story about Jeremiah, kind of asking the question, how can we be the people that God uses? Now, the first week in this series through Jeremiah, we talked about we've got to stop making excuses, and we've got to follow God. Too often, we're very guilty of making those excuses and getting out of what God calls for us to do, just like Jeremiah did. Then the second week, we looked at the need to allow our hearts to be broken for others so that they'll come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need to have a broken heart for people to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then the third week, we looked and observed how we need to rise above discouragement. Rise above discouragement. Finally, today, as we look at the conclusion, if you will, of Jeremiah, unless the Lord so changes the direction, we must persevere when times get tough. We must persevere when times get tough. In other words, we must finish well. We must finish well. A man that you all know of or have heard of named Walter Payton was a running back for the Chicago Bears for several years. I believe it's for 13 years, rushed for 16,726 yards in the National Football League. He was knocked down every 4.6 yards. But he got back up, got back in the game, and ran again. Now, since then, Emmitt Smith of the Dallas Cowboys has surpassed that. He also rushed a lot, 18,355 yards, with a being knocked down every 4.2 yards. But just like Walter Payton, he got up, and he ran again. Jeremiah was a man who kept getting knocked down. Jeremiah was a man who would serve God, get knocked down, question God, get back up, and go again. Kind of sounds like us today. Because there's not a person in this room that has not faced being knocked down. Because we have been knocked down on many different occasions. Jeremiah was faithful in delivering God's message. Jeremiah was faithful, even though it was not an easy message, for 40 years to share that judgment is coming. Turn from your sins. The other prophets had shared. But Jeremiah told them, judgment for your sins is coming. Now, I don't know how well you know the story about Jeremiah, but you'll read it time and time again. He was knocked down, he got up. He was knocked down, he got up. He was knocked down, he got up. It was wash, rinse, repeat. He would serve God, but get knocked down. And the most amazing thing to me, that as we see through the Scriptures, as his prophecy starts to be fulfilled, they didn't say, you know what, Jeremiah is speaking truth. They allowed their hearts to be hardened, and they withdrew further and further away from where God wanted them to be. Though in the Scriptures we'll see some strange things as we move forward in this morning's message. They kept taking shots at him. They kept knocking him down. They kept beating him. They kept putting him in prison and leaving him for dead. But Jeremiah, he kept getting back up. Just like Walter Payton in football. Us, just like Walter Payton and just like Jeremiah. When we get knocked down, we need to know who holds our hand. We need to know who holds tomorrow. We need to get back up. And we need to strive forward, be obedient to what God has called and instructed for us to do. To know Christ more, and to make him known. That's the instructions in a short version of what God's Word shares with us. We are called to know Christ more and to make him known. One thing that really grabbed my attention was that the more the people ran from God and didn't want to know what he said, the more they came back to Jeremiah wanting to know, what did the Lord say? And to me, I don't know if it does to you, but that seems kind of odd to me. They don't want to hear it. But they get in these situations, the prophecy is fulfilled, and they go back, what does he say now? As if they're looking, I have not repented, I have not changed my ways, maybe God has changed his way. In other words, they wanted a God that gave them a wink, said, it'll be all right, son. But the truth about the matter is, the truth about the Bible is, God is a just God. And sin brings consequences. Sin brings punishment. Hebrews 12:6 shares with us that God punishes those that he loves. Why? Because he knows what's best for us. And he wants and calls for us to just follow and to serve him. So moving forward, in this morning's message, look at Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 17 through 21. King Zedekiah later sent for him and received him, and in his house privately asked him, is there a word from the Lord? There it is. He's put him in jail, if you will. Bring him out. What's the Lord said about all this? There is, Jeremiah responded, and he continued, you will be handed over to the king of Babylon. Then Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, how have I sinned against you or your servants or these people that have put me in prison? Where are your prophets who prophesied to you, claiming that you are in this land? So now, please listen, my lord the king. May my petition come before you. Don't send me back to the house of Jonathan the scribe, or I will die there. So King Zedekiah gave orders, and Jeremiah was placed in the guard's courtyard. He was given a loaf of bread each day from the baker's street until the bread was gone from the city. So Jeremiah remained in the guard's courtyard. I said all that to say this. I wonder you don't recognize this. Jeremiah knocked down, yes. Jeremiah didn't get up on his own. God helped him up. But Jeremiah had to persevere and take the actions of trust in God. But we see right in the middle of his controversy, God took care of him. God made sure he was taking care of his prophet. Now, I'm not going to say that if you will do something that troubles and struggles and difficulties will not come, as Jeremiah very well sees, but I promise you this, there's coming a day. There will be no more sorrows, no more pain, no more struggles. But you have to make the choice who you're going to serve. Sin and self or Jesus Christ? Who are you going to place first within your life? So we notice how the king had these questions and God took care of Jeremiah. Now look at Jeremiah 38 verses 4 through 6. They read like this. The officials then said to the king, "This man ought to die because he is weakening the morale of the warriors who remain in the city and all the people by speaking to them in this way. This man is not seeking the well-being of the people, but disaster." King Zedekiah said, "Here he is. He's in your hands, since the king can't do anything against you." So they took Jeremiah and dropped him into the cistern of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the guard's courtyard. Lowering Jeremiah with ropes, there was no water in the cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank in the mud. Here's another portion of the story. Now, I'm not going to read the next section, but you can continue reading after that. God delivers him again. But you see what I'm talking about. Same thing as Walter Payton. Run the ball, knocked down, but he got back up and run. Jeremiah, obedient to God, he got knocked down. But he got right back up and obeyed God. We need to learn from the life of Jeremiah. We need to learn that when life is tough, and it is, we all know it. We all face it daily. We need to recognize that God's the one's in control. And God will never leave you or forsake you. He just wants you to trust Him. He wants you to rely upon Him. He wants you to have faith in Him. So how many of you here in this room this morning have ever felt like you've been knocked down repeatedly? We all have. We've all felt that way. And if the truth was known, we may have even knocked others down. Not intentionally, maybe, prayerfully. We know life sometimes is tough. And when we get outside of God's will, so oftentimes we do the knocking down instead of the being knocked down. But here's what God shares with us and instructs us. It's time to get up. It's time to help up. And focus back in on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And move forward. And be exactly what He's called for us to do. I've heard it shared with me multiple times this week how we cannot live in the past. Too often we're very guilty of allowing past circumstances and situations. I, Greg Nahm, a sinner saved by grace, things I have done, I'll allow that oftentimes to come forefront. Satan wants me to. When Scripture shares with me, when I repent and ask forgiveness, God is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to restore me to righteousness, and He remembers my sins no more. He separates as far as the east is from the west. But too often we're guilty of allowing our past to dictate what our future holds. Yes, learn from our mistakes, but move forward in obedience to Him. Grow to know Him more. Trust and rely upon Him. Allow Him to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in which He already is. Life is not easy. So how do we persevere? Number one, you're filling the blanks. How can a Christian persevere? Number one, deliver the message. Deliver the message. No matter what you are facing, deliver the message. Jeremiah's message was not popular. Jeremiah was not popular. The people wanted a sermon of mercy and not justice. As I shared with you a moment ago, they wanted God to wink at them and say it's all right instead of holding them accountable. We need to deliver the message. Jeremiah spoke the truth and Jeremiah was knocked down. But Jeremiah got up and delivered the message. We need to persevere and we need to deliver the message. After Jeremiah's rescue from the cistern, as I shared with you a moment ago, the king sent for him again. The king wanted to hear the prophet again. He was hoping there would be a different story, is kind of the idea that we get. That God had changed his mind about the punishment. Maybe he'll have a more favorable thing to tell me through Jeremiah this time. But here's how Jeremiah replied in 38:15. If I tell you, you will kill me, won't you? Besides, if I give you advice, you won't listen to me anyway. But the king promised his protection. And you'll see as you read through those scriptures towards the latter part of 38, that Jeremiah tells him again, if you turn from your sin, you will be saved, the city will be saved, your family will be saved. You read a little further about chapter 39, you'll see two plus years later, they're finally overtaken. Not because Zedekiah changed, but because God gave the opportunity for change. And Zedekiah denied it. Zedekiah walked past it. But we should be thankful that God chooses people just like you to deliver the message that there's hope found in Jesus. It was not easy for Jeremiah to deliver that message. He had been knocked down, but he delivered it anyway. He carried the ball without fumbling. He got knocked down and he took beatings. He was placed in prison. He was placed inside a polluted cistern without water. He had death threats. He got knocked down time and time again, yet he got up. You see, God's word is filled with love and mercy and grace. But God's word is also filled with a just God that holds people accountable for their sins. He cannot allow sin to go unpunished. So here's God's message that we need to know. We should know. God created all. This is a synopsis of the Bible. God created all. God desires a close, personal, intimate relationship with you. God has a desire for you to be in a close, intimate relationship with Him. We are all disobedient sinners. We fall short. But God, Romans 5:8, but God proved His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. That sin requires punishment, but God gave of Himself through Jesus Christ, and He took that punishment upon Himself. And we have what's called the good news, the gospel. What is the gospel? If you ever want to know what the gospel is, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, and I want you to read what the gospel is. Paul wrote this to the church of Corinth and says this, now, brothers, I want to clarify for you the gospel I proclaim to you. You received it and have taken your stand on it. You are saved by it if you hold to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believe for no purpose. For I pass it on to you, most important, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and He was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel good news. Jesus paid it all for you and for me because of His love for us. Not that we deserved it, but that He freely gave. And He wants for us to trust in Him and rely upon Him. So deliver the message. The message is good news. The message includes consequences, punishment. But when a person repents, the gospel good news is given when they turn to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Secondly, as we see in our fill in the blanks, how can a Christian persevere? Number two, stand by your convictions. Stand by your convictions. What does it mean to persevere in obedience? It means to stand by your biblical convictions. What does the Bible say? We're called to believe it, trust in it, rely upon it. Live by it. Jeremiah stood by his convictions, speaking the truth of God's will. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 18, God said, Jeremiah, you will be a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze walls. Jeremiah lived out what God said he would be. Did Jeremiah fall short? Absolutely. Did Jeremiah make mistakes? Absolutely. But he got back up and trusted in God. He allowed God to pull him out of the mire and muck and allowed him to be Lord of his life. Jeremiah did not enjoy giving a difficult message. You read Jeremiah and Lamentations, you'll see that his heart was broken because of the people around him not listening to the message of hope if they would just turn from their sin. But the people did not. We're called to stand by our convictions. A person with convictions knows what he believes and believes what he knows. Knows what he believes and believes what he knows. Convictions are not forced upon an individual. Convictions are beliefs and actions that we make, the choices that we make each and every day. If you have convictions, you live by it every day. So if you have biblical convictions, ask yourself the question, am I living by it? Because if you're not living by it, then they must not be very strong biblical convictions. We're called to live in accordance to God's Word and God's Word alone. That is our instruction manual for life. Are we adhering to it? Are we following? Are we standing by our convictions? Francis Kelly once wrote, "Convictions are the mainsprings of action and the driving powers of life. How a man lives is his convictions." How do I apply this? Let me tell you about a gentleman named Eric Liddell. You may have heard of the story, Chariots of Fire. In 1924 Olympics, Eric Liddell had worked hard, prepared for a specific event that he was picked to win the gold in. But they chose to have that event on Sunday. And Eric Liddell's convictions is, I'm not running on Sunday. Through conversations, he changed what he was entered in and ran a different race on a different day that he had not prepared for. Right before the race took place, someone came up and shared with him, "He who honors me, I will honor." 1 Samuel 2:30. You know what Eric Liddell did? He ran the race that he did not prepare for. He didn't run the one he prepared for because of his convictions. He ran a different race. He honored God, and God honored him, and he won gold. God has a way if we will stand by our convictions. He didn't say it'd be easy. He didn't say you'll have all this accolades. You may or may not win a gold medal. But you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. Stand by your convictions. See what God's Word shares and stand by them. Don't give in to go in another direction. Don't give in to following after someone else or something else. Eric ran in faith. His convictions were unbroken. He honored God. Each day of our lives will challenge us to stand by our convictions. That's the world in which we live in. Many people in this world do not have any convictions, especially according to the Bible. Too many Christians say they have convictions of the Bible, but their life does not reveal it. We need to stand by our convictions. We need to be exactly what God's called for us to be. Number three, and you're filling the blank, how can a Christian persevere? Number three, refuse to compromise. Refuse to compromise. People who persevere choose not to stay down. They get up. They see the world around them that has knocked them down time and time and time again, and they get up. The choices we made yesterday affect our today. Yes, the choices we make today will determine our tomorrow. Refuse to compromise. Jean-Paul Sartre wrote this book, "We Are Our Choices." We are our choices. If we compromise our obedience to God, what are we telling others about Him? If we compromise on God's Word, what are we telling the world about what our true beliefs about who God is? Refuse to compromise. Compromise may not always seem bad, but when it comes to faith, we're expected to stand true before God because, let me tell you something, the truth never changes. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We need to refuse to compromise. Because when we do compromise, here's what we do. We open a door of opportunity for Satan to stick his head in and to derail God's people. Ephesians 4:27 says this, do not give Satan an opportunity. Why? Because he'll take it. Every time he will take it. He wants for you and for me and for God's church to stumble and fall and fail. That's his mission. So we as individuals, we as the church, must be on guard about giving Satan opportunity. We need to be ready to stand back up when we're knocked down repeatedly. So the question I want to ask you is this. When you're knocked down, what will you do? What will you do? Will you deliver the message of salvation? Deliver to a people that there's hope? Will you stand by your convictions and not be ashamed? Will you live for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Will you follow after in obedience to Him? Will you refuse to compromise the truth because the truth does not change? So let me ask you one final question. After you've lived your life, what will people say about you? What will people say about you? What will they say about your walk in obedience to Jesus Christ? That's the question we all need to ask this morning. When I pass from this walk of life, what will the world around me, who will the world around me say I placed first in my life? Was it self or was it Jesus? Was it self or was it Jesus? Was it self or was it Jesus? If you're here this morning and you've not trusted in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Bible shares with us that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God is raising from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's a free gift to every person who will accept it. God wants a personal relationship with you. He covered your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross. He gave you victory in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. What about those here this morning who have surrendered to Jesus Christ and maybe you're not following and you've compromised the faith? And you've not been obedient. You've not stood by your convictions. You know what God says? Come home. Trust in me. Rely upon me. I'm here. I'm here. Won't you come? As we stand, as we sing, hymn number.